effective out high or down low. Here he is out high. Holds, waits, fires, and scores!
Matvei Michkov has his first goal at the Wells Fargo Center.
And the Flyers are back on top. It's 3-2.
Maxey fires. He's got it. Tie game. 8.1 to play. 41 for Maxey.
It's good.
Right center field. Lightning strikes. 2-0 Bills.
It's over. The Philadelphia Eagles have won Super Bowl 59. They have beaten the Kansas City Chiefs 40-22. It's their second Super Bowl win in 7 years. What a game. What a season. What a team. The greatest Eagles team in modern history. Eagles fans, savor it and rejoice.
And now it's time for That Philly John on Sterling High School Radio with your hosts, Travis Schmidt and Pat Carroll.
Episode 4 in the works. Thanks for joining us here on Sterling Radio. Rob Strauss, Travis Schmidt, as well as Pat Carroll. Soon to be, we have a guest appearance that may or may not happen. We're not sure. If it does happen, it's going to be from New Jersey State soccer, boy soccer coach of the year, one Pete Marley's going to join the pod this week. What a stud.
Yeah. You go.
What? Listen, you guys have this way of just getting guests and good guests, and that's a good one. That's a good pull.
I just think people like the program.
Yeah. It's a good program.
And it is a pro. Yeah,
yeah,
it is.
I love it. I love it. So we're going to be going over a lot of different things today. We got Phillies, we got Sixers, little bit of NHL talk, a little bit of Sixer talk. I'm sure if Marley's joins us, I know he's got some hot takes. For the Sixers.
My takes are hot.
But this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about.
He thinks Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey have like Ben Simmons like flop potential.
I hope he gets in here. He's got a class now, doesn't he?
He does, but they're not doing anything.
All right, well, then maybe he brings the whole class down and we have like a fire hazard in my room where we got like, 60 people in my room and people doing a TPJ episode
ball.
Four.
I mean, the boys are talking ball.
Yeah, you gotta prioritize things, Marlies. Come on, man. really good show planned for you here today. We don't have many left. We've got one maybe next week before you guys sneak out for senior trip. We'll get to that in a little bit. Maybe we do a remote session where you guys walking around Disney, or if you're waiting in line for Rock and Roller Coaster, which does not exist anymore, by the way.
I think it'll be open when we're down there.
Oh, really?
Sure. Yeah, maybe we can. Yeah, maybe if you're waiting in line. Space Mountain with
take Sorry, Strauss, we got to go. We're about to get on the ride. That actually would be kind of funny.
That'd be great.
We'll see what we can do. But for right now, let's start off with the segment number one. Let's talk Phils. Lots to talk about here. I think the big story, we talked about this right before we went on the air. Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
Injured. Took a 90-plus mile-an-hour fastball to the upper body, as they call it in the hockey world. He's out with a big series against the Braves. We talked about this in the last pod, guys.
Pat, do you think that was intentional?
You know, I don't know. I think pitchers like to throw up and in to Phillies hitters, especially since, they're a bunch of power guys. But, I think Harper, he got hit in the elbow. That's his throwing elbow. I think maybe an elbow guard would have helped, but I'm not sure. So I think the Phillies are going to retaliate and maybe hit one of the Braves stars to even it.
I think someone's getting hit tonight. I feel like when it's like there's a lot of history between Bryce Harper, not even the Phillies, but just Bryce Harper and the postseason. Yeah, like Pat just said with the Phillies, if it was intentional for them to hit him, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
So you've got tonight's game, 6:45, weather permitting. I know the weather today, not so good. I'll be interested to see if they even get that game off. And that begs the question, what happens? If it does get rained out tonight, do they make that a doubleheader tomorrow?
Yeah, or they could add a game.
Add it later in the season.
Later in the
season. You could do that as well.
I think you can just, because the Braves will be back here, so you could probably just make one of those games a doubleheader, I think.
Yeah. Zach Wheeler on the mound tonight, 6:45 start against Atlanta. And then they've got three against Milwaukee. Then they go on the road, big road trip at Toronto, at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, not so good this season.
Yeah, not that good.
You've got three in Chicago, three at home against the Blue Jays, which is, a World Series, 93 World Series kind of rematch.
Yeah.
Joe Carter. You guys weren't around for that. I know exactly where I was.
I know. My dad.
It was in my buddy's basement. It was
my
brutal.
My dad can tell you exactly what.
Brutal.
Yeah.
nonetheless. Braves currently sitting 9.5 back of the Phils. And I feel like when we did our first pod, it was like, oh my God, what's happening with the Phillies? Nobody really knew what was happening with the Phillies, but now we do. They're sitting several games over, 16 games over 500, game and a half clear of the New York Metropolitans.
There's drama going on there in New York too. So between them and Soto. That report came out that he's supposedly like flying on planes alone, and then that got shot down that he isn't. So, you know, I'm kind of glad we stayed away from
it. Yeah, you know, Soto's not showing that hustle. You know, he hit that ball off the monster. You see that?
Yeah, it was a single. Hit the top of the
monster. How do you single off the monster?
The top of the monster, because he thought it was, he pimped it. He pimped the single.
Ugh.
I mean, when you're making $700 million, you know.
Yeah, I guess you can do that.
Did you see what happened? I think it might have been last night. He hit a ball into the gap. They were playing Chicago, right? The White Sox. And I think it's Michael A. Taylor, center fielder in Chicago. Soto, I guess, thought he made the catch, and he got lapped by his own teammate going back to first base. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
That's not good.
It was bad.
That's bad.
And of all the markets to do that in, I don't think you can do that in the New York market. It would not be the preferred place to do it. And so right now, Juan Soto is currently hitting, see if I can dig it out here, what he's actually hitting, as 8 home runs right now.
Him and like Max Kepler, I saw, like the two, you know, we were kind of in the market for a left fielder, like a left-handed bat too, and like they're pretty much like kind of having like identical seasons. I know Max Kepler isn't on the level of Juan Soto, but like production-wise,
they're about the same.
Yeah, here you go, Pat. He was kind of running the bases, and then he didn't realize, and he gave up mid-play.
I mean, to be fair, Jimmy Rollins did that too.
Yeah, but like Soto, his teammate is running back to first base, and he's just standing in the middle, walking off the field. He was absolutely clueless to what was going on. It was a single he hit too. The ball dropped, and he thought the guy caught it, so he didn't run it out.
I mean, if you guys knew, just to be, I'm not playing the side of Juan Soto, but if you guys knew that you were going to get an A in a class, how much work would you be 100% locked in every single day? Would you bring your A game, pardon the pun, to every single class, knowing that no matter what you did or didn't do, you were still getting an A+ in the class?
Yeah, and this, I can tell you why, because if I don't bring the A game, it's a dishonor. To the teacher who shows up and teaches every day, the same thing to the Mets. And their owners who were paying this guy was $800 million. You should be showing up and playing your behind off. Like, who cares? Like, you know, the money's guaranteed. These players are investments, and this guy invested almost $800 million into you. You should show up and play every day. Like, you know, you're worth that money. You shouldn't be giving up on the play and stuff like that and walking down the base.
You want to play a fun game?
Let's play it.
Let's play a fun game. Let's play over under. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a number. And you got to tell me whether or not you think the stat is over or under.
Juan Soto?
Yeah. Juan Soto, batting average, over or under 240?
He's
struggling lately.
I think he's over. I think he's floating around 260, 270.
I'm going to say under. He's been struggling lately.
Well, one of you is right. He's currently batting 228.
Really?
228.
I thought it was much higher than that. Wow.
He's batting 228. Let's play over under. Over under RBIs, 30.
Just
30 RBIs.
How many home runs does he have?
He has 8 home runs.
I'm going to say just over 30. He doesn't have more than like 35.
I'm going to say under again.
Pat, you're 2-for-2.
Oh, my God.
25 RBIs on the season. Over under. All right, I can't do. That's really all the one that's like completely relevant, to be honest with you. But
I mean, like,
on base,
but that's, like, I mean, he's making a lot of money. But it's, again, it's early. It's an early sample size.
So I saw on Twitter, it's time to have a conversation here. We're looking at Kyle Schwarber. So Soto's batting 228, 8 home runs, 25 RBIs. He's got a 756 OPS. Schwarber's batting 253. He has 18 homers, 40 RBIs, and his OPS is over.
And how much is Schwarber making?
His OPS is 963.
Significantly less.
Yeah, significantly less.
Just switching gears with the Phillies here a little bit. Ranger Suarez with a night last night, pulling off his best Gavin McCormick, impersonation. Shout out Gavin McCormick with a 13 strikeout gem yesterday in the opening round. Shout out Sterling Baseball having a stellar year.
He looked good last night though. Ranger, I feel like he had a kind of shaky first start, but he's really, really settled down.
Yeah.
These last couple starts he's had, so it's just more good signs coming from the ball club.
Yep, three of his last four starts have been scoreless.
Yeah,
so that's impressive. Wow. It's impressive,
especially against a team like the Braves, who you can't argue they're healthy now.
Yeah, they are. They're currently 9.5 back of the Phils, but again, long way to go. Atlanta's played 53 games as opposed to the Phillies 54, so you still have over 100 games left in the regular season. Yeah. Long way to go. Harper gets hurt last night. We don't know how long he's going to be out. We don't know what the prognosis is for that.
I think elbow contusion.
And the other two teams I don't think you have to really worry about. No, Washington and Miami do not scare me at all, nor have they ever at any point.
Honestly, the Mets don't really intimidate me either.
They do. For me. I'll play that role.
What do you think, Pat?
I mean, I don't know. They beat us last year in the playoffs, I think. It's tough. It's tough. It's early in the season. They swept us in New York, but we'll get him again. We'll see him again.
Yeah, definitely.
Right now, as we record the pod, Trey Turner leading the Phils right now with a .305 batting average. Kyle Schwarber, the aforementioned Schwarbaum, leading in three statistical categories: home runs, RBIs, and OBP. And Trey Turner in hits at 65. But you look at somebody like Bryce Harper, who's hitting .267. 8 home runs, 33 RBIs. If he's going to be out for an extended period of time, who are you bringing up, and who's going to take that role?
I guess Boehm goes to first.
Sosa third.
Aiden Miller?
Aiden Miller, But, a name that has been, popping up a little bit has been Rhys Hoskins,
I've been seeing this.
I've been seeing that, too.
He's on an expiring deal. The way he ended his career in Philly just wasn't right. That ACL tear.
So what do you do if you bring Hoskins back? What do you do with Harper?
I would move. Well, here's the thing. Well, one of the outfielders is going to have to get moved. It's not going to be Castellanos.
No, it's definitely not. Castellanos, I think. Castellanos is a homer now.
Yeah.
They love him here. I don't think he's going anywhere.
He's been great. He's hitting 280. Center field has been a problem.
Cedric Mullins.
They've been saying Cedric Mullins from Baltimore.
I actually saw something there, Pat. I think it was an Aiden Miller mock deal with a couple other pieces for Yennier Cano and Cedric Mullins.
Yeah, I could see a bullpen piece in center fielder, but
yeah.
You want to play over under?
Yeah, let's play over under.
Rhys Hoskins over under batting average .275.
Say,
how many at bats does he have? Does it say
in 170 at bats?
I'm gonna say under.
What is 270?
275, I said.
Say over.
You're 3 for 3.
Dude.
He's hitting .282 right now. 7 home runs, 29 RBIs. In 170 at bats.
That'd be great.
48 hits. 9 doubles. It's pretty impressive.
Bring him
back.
You could do a ton of things with that. You move Harper back, but even you might not even have to use Rhys every. Rhys, is he an everyday player if you trade for him back on this lineup?
I would say he's an everyday player. Get that righty power bat in. I would put him at the DH in 2022. Schwarber in left field. I would move him back in left field.
Do you put Schwarber at first and put Harper back out in the outfield?
Harper's been a Gold Glove caliber first baseman though lately in the past couple seasons.
But where would you rather suffer at, first or left field?
Left field. I think I would really? Have Schwarber out there. Rhys Hoskins did play left field, but I don't think he's in that shape.
Anymore. No, I don't think he's in that shape. He's a first baseman.
I love Kepler, but if we got Hoskins back, then that would change.
Now, would you be doing that for a nostalgic piece?
That's,
just because
that's what I think. I don't.
Are you doing it for a strategic piece that the Phillies need? To fill a hole.
The Phillies, on all these runs they've been on recently, are built off, team chemistry, vibes, the guys in the clubhouse all love each other. So is this one of those things you bring back Rhys, he just gives you a spark? It's like Rhys Hoskins is back. But it's like you're saying, do we need Rhys Hoskins?
Is it a want or is it a need? Do you want him back so that people can say, oh my God, we got Rhys Hoskins back. Yay.
We're playing in sold out stadiums every night. It's not like Rhys Hoskins is going to come back and boost attendance or anything. I don't know.
He's 32. He's 32 years old.
But I'd love him. I'd love to have him back.
6'3", 241.
On an expiring deal.
On an expiring deal.
So you could probably get him from nothing.
A couple years? You're going to sign him just to rent him for the playoff run?
You could probably trade him for...
It depends on where Milwaukee is when the playoffs are all around.
Yeah, when the deadline is.
Like, when the deadline is right now, Milwaukee is 6.5 games back of the Cubbies and 3.5 back of St. Louis, who's in second place in the Central.
The way Rhys ended it in Philly just still doesn't sit well with me. Yeah, no.
But I could see... You know, I see where you're going with that, with the Rhys Hoskins. I mean, if it fits, then yes.
Yeah.
If Harper's... You know, going to have some injured list time. Do you go early and go get Hoskins? But, you know,
I think it's too early to tell this yet. If we have this conversation 3 months from now,
it's
in like late August.
Yeah.
And we'll get a better idea of where everybody is, you know, in the divisional standings and things like that.
Yeah.
I think that's something you definitely have on the back burner, but I don't think it's in. Immediate radar.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at the deadline or even sooner, like Rhys Hoskins is not at the first baseman is not at the top of your list.
Bullpen.
Center field, stuff like that. Rhys is almost like a one. I mean, I would love to have him back. I loved him. I was sad when he left.
Right now, Phil's on a heater. They're playing really, really well. Ripped off 9 in a row before losing 5-4 to the Athletics, in a 10,000 people witnessed that Oakland win.
Yeah,
it's not good.
It's not good. Not very good.
And then you've obviously I mentioned the 3 with the Braves, and then 3 with the aforementioned Brewers and Rhys Hoskins. Maybe they'll clean out his locker. You know,
switch it over.
Yeah. Is it in Philly or is
it's
it
in Philly?
Yeah, maybe they'll just be like, yeah, bro, you're staying here.
In Philly, Saturday, if you're not doing anything at 4:05, you can head over there.
I mean, he got a huge standing O when he came back to Philly last year. Didn't he hit a home run?
He did hit a home run.
On Wheeler?
Yeah.
All right, switching gears. You just gave me – I'm going to bring up something in the two-minute drill, which is going to be pretty funny. We'll get to that in a second. That's called a tease in the business, by the way. Switching gears, heading over very, very quickly, see if we can stall until Marlies gets in here, if he does at all. Quick segment on the Sixers. Not a lot going on, obviously. You're down to the Final Four in the NBA playoffs. A great series with New York and Indiana, and Indiana up currently 3-1, and that series has been really, really interesting. Indiana looks really, really, really good, but are they good enough to beat OKC?
Yeah, they're looking really solid. Their bench is coming in and just providing that spark and providing, like, you know, getting them, you know, up versus the Knicks and, like, points-wise and all that stuff. You know, that Halliburton performance last night with 0 turnovers was
unbelievable.
And to add on to that, to what Pat's saying about their role players, like, they're the ideal role players. Every single one of those guys that come off the bench know their role.
Former
and that's why it works
McConnell.
So much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was having this just to lead this into a little bit of – tie it into Philly a little bit. How many seasons are the Sixers away from looking like the Pacers? In your opinion.
If they're healthy – and they
given the roster is 100% healthy.
Okay.
When do the Sixers look? You're saying next year.
Next year.
Love that optimism.
Yep.
Pat?
Next year or the year after.
Yeah. I think your window, if you don't do anything in the next 2 years, this just all was for nothing. But you have McCain, who's young, Edwards, who's young, Ace Bailey, hopefully someone that you draft is young. So at least still there's direction to go into.
Yeah.
But I think right now, if you're going to win a title, you want to win it with Embiid.
Yeah.
Pat, you with that?
I'm right with you, Trev.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You guys agree. I love
that. Can I ask something real quick? I was having this argument with my dad.
Yeah.
And this kind of was thinking, is Tyrese Haliburton a superstar?
If he wins a title, yes.
So he's not a superstar right now.
Well, I think that there's only a handful of superstars in every league of across the world. You can't.
That's what I almost want to say that he is, but my dad's like, I don't think he's a superstar.
He's a star.
Is Justin Tucker a superstar athlete? because he can kick 65-yard field goals?
No.
But he's the also, best at what he does.
I think he's also blacklisted now from the NFL. Yeah.
No, what I'm saying is you take a yeah. you know oh, what yeah. I mean? Like yeah. a somebody's on the hockey's fourth line
yeah.
scores a game-winning overtime goal to win the Stanley Cup. Does that make them a superstar?
But I think Halliburton's on track to be superstar. Conference final last year, I mean.
I think the sample right size now. Is too small.
Right now, yes.
Yes.
And the Sixers actually said no to a Tyrese Halliburton trade. It was
whoops.
Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, Matisse Thybulle for, who was it, Buddy Hield, Tyrese Halliburton.
And
it was someone else.
The other guy.
The other guy.
Yeah, the other guy.
Right.
And then for James Harden, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's been entertaining. If you guys get a chance to watch, there's a shameless plug also for ESPN 30 for 30. There's a great 30 for 30. You guys were not around for the Reggie Miller against Patrick Ewing series in the 90s. Holy cow, that was must watch.
Did you like seeing Halliburton pull out the...
Oh, he pulled out the choke signal? Yeah. It was a little preemptive. I mean, that was going to backfire on him if they had lost in overtime.
Yes.
But he was an inch and a half away from having the walk-off three. And that was huge. It was huge. Yeah. But that series, if you get a chance to watch that rivalry with Spike Lee and Reggie Miller going back and forth. Reggie Miller was such a good player. And I love him as an analyst, too. I think he's very good as an analyst as well. But that's a really cool series. I know you guys are big basketball junkies, so definitely check that out. And I wish Marley's was here because we talked about this a little bit in the last segment. But would you guys trade the Sixers pick up or down to get somebody? Trading up, you only have one spot you can go.
I want to hear what you
they're
have
not
to
they're
say,
not Pat. Trading one. Yeah, we'll start with Pat, but they know that the likelihood of trading to one with Dallas, you would have to basically sell off the entire team.
Pretty much,
yeah. I think there's no doubt in my mind that Dallas.
Dallas is pretty. Like we're not trading.
Probably already has Cooper Flagg. Probably already has his property picked out.
Dallas, yeah.
Pat, your thoughts?
Trading up, you can't. I wouldn't trade up. There's no point in that. Trading down, it's just I don't know. Because there's a great. You don't have the chance every year to go out there and get a top three talent like the Sixers did this have this year. They got lucky. They got into the top four. They got three. I don't know if you could trade out of this. If you get Ace Bailey, that could change a franchise if he's a star player. But there's been reports about trading for Kevin Durant along with the pick with Paul George. Kevin Durant's getting older. And I just don't know if they would do that. But I would keep the pick and draft the top three talent if I was the Sixers.
So I wouldn't trade up. That's too much you're giving up. And I also wouldn't trade for someone like Kevin Durant. So think of it this way. You keep the third pick, Ace Bailey. Hopefully you get, 10 years of him. He's awesome. He pans out. You're trading that future, like Pat said. You don't get a chance to get a top three player every year for Kevin Durant, who you might get two or three more years out of. But I'm not opposed. This draft class is really deep. There's really, really good talent that's going to fall to 6 or 7. Even maybe you could argue like the 10th pick. The kid from Maryland, Derek Queen, I would love to see him next to Embiid. I wouldn't mind trading down 2 or 3 picks, trading the third for let's just say the eighth. Maybe like a role player or another or a second. But I would not, if I'm trading, I'm not trading outside the top 10, and I'm not trading for an aging star like Kevin Durant.
Valid point. A lot for things to play out here. Draft coming up this summer.
Yeah. June 25th.
June. Yep. We'll be out of here. You guys will be all graduated by then. We've flirted with this idea of doing this pod over the summer, so stay tuned. Maybe we keep that Philly John going once you guys get out of here in about 3 weeks. We would be remiss if we did not bring up an Eagles segment. There's not a lot to talk about right now, but there is a couple little nuggets that we can bring up. The Tush Push. We'll be around for at least one more year as the owners voted. I think there's only 10 owners that voted against it, but everybody else said yes to the Tush Push. It doesn't injure anybody. Yeah. It's a, I don't know if it's a football play. I think it's boring as a viewer.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of predictable and boring, but not everybody can do the tush push. We've seen other teams try to do it, and they can't do it as well as the Eagles. Figure out a way to do it better and put it, add it to your repertoire. If you can't, don't do it.
It's like the teams that are voting against it are the teams that have tried it and
failed.
And
just can't do it. Yep, I agree with that.
You don't have like what we have on the line. So,
NFL Football Power Index just brought out their Super Bowl chances, and the Eagles are number one, with the Chiefs number two, Ravens third, Lions four, Bills five, the Commanders number six, with a good young squad. Bengals, Packers, Chargers, and Rams round out the top 10 at the first look of the NFL FPI ratings for the 2025 season, which, believe it or not, guys, I mean,
it's right around the corner.
You got about 2.5 months left until training camp, and then you never know what's going to happen. The Eagles also hold a 12% chance to win the Super Bowl again.
It's at the highest.
The Chiefs are right behind them again, and the percent likelihood, I don't know how they come up with these numbers, that you get a rematch of the Eagles-Chiefs, 4%. 4%.
I don't know how you come up with it. It's above my...
So, here's my question. Knowledge. What team is going to challenge the Eagles in the NFC for next season? The easy answer is the Lions.
Yeah.
That's the easy answer. But despite the when they were 2-2, and then they ripped off what, 10 in a row?
Yeah.
And then had the one hiccup in Hurts Washington where Hurts got injured.
Yeah.
And they didn't really have a lot of problems from the rest of the season on.
No, I don't. I mean, as much as I'd like to say nobody's going to give them an issue, no team's ever going to go perfect or just, you know, run through teams. So I like to think the Lions, and I even think maybe Washington can. I still like to think Jaden Daniels might hit that sophomore slump, but you never know.
Yeah, I think the Lions will, you know, give us a problem. We do play them in the regular season, which if we face them in playoffs will give us a good, you know, preview of what we could see, you know, possibly NFC Championship or rounds before. But I think the Commanders will also, and an under sleeper team is the Rams. I think the Rams could be a sneaky team to give us a problem. They almost did it to us this year. You know, they were on that drive. Jalen Carter came up huge with that sack and saved us, but I think that's a sleeper team that could give us a problem.
How do you think the Lions will be, though, Pat, with losing their two coordinators? Because they were the hottest head coach hires were their two coordinators.
Yeah, you saw what happened to the Eagles after they lost the Super Bowl. Their coordinators got lost. Their defense fell apart. Offense was just not the same. You know, they were running RPOs and wide receiver screens on third and whatever. Yeah. It was awful. You know, I think the coordinators really help. And I think that they, you know, they build the team to where it can win. Like, they can win. Like, Vic Fangio turned this defense from one of the worst to one of the best.
I mean, you got a score. You got Gibbs, Montgomery, Williams.
They got a squad over there. J-Mo. They got J-Mo.
Me and Pat love J-Mo.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you.
Amon Ra.
They got a bunch of talent over there. So any coordinator, they could do some magic, and I think they could definitely.
That's an ongoing fantasy joke. Pat traded me Jameson Williams and then texted me about like 2 hours later saying, let me get J-Mo back. And then he got busted for PEDs. So,
That's why we can't have nice things.
Yeah.
From the top of the NFL to the bottom of the NFL, gentlemen, they already have the projected 2026 NFL draft order, according to Power Football Index. Which teams do you think will be in the top 10 of the projected draft order for 2026?
The Giants.
The Giants are number two.
Titans.
The Titans are number three.
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville is nine.
New England, definitely not.
You're missing a big one. The one that's always number one every year, and they always screw it up.
The Browns.
Oh, yeah.
Are number one.
Shedeur Sanders already brought like a $600,000 Rolls Royce.
Well, speaking of Shedeur Sanders, with the Saints, correct?
Yeah.
They are projected number four.
With the Cardinals.
But you do have the Jets at five, the Panthers at six, the Raiders at seven, the Falcons at 8, and then we mentioned the Jags at 9, and the Patriots at 10.
I don't think the Falcons are good. That's one I don't agree. I don't think the Falcons have a top 10 pick next year.
You and Power Football Index would disagree with that. So, yeah. That was just a little bit of Eagles fun, chatter. Yeah. A little Eagles chatter there. Still a couple months away from preseason and reporting to training camp and all that jazz. So, Flyers news, nothing really much to talk about there. Offseason for them, obviously, but you're into the Final Four as well in the NHL playoffs with the Western Conference. Edmonton looking to go back to back-to-back Stanley Cup finals. They're up 3-1.
That'd be a rematch, correct?
Both teams are up 3-1. Carolina is down 3-1 to Florida. So Florida can actually close that out tonight in Carolina. I believe they play tonight, so that will be an interesting game, which brings us right into the two-minute drill, my friends. Two-minute drill, let's start off, since we're talking about hockey, we'll keep it with hockey. Do the Oilers win the Stanley Cup?
I'm going to go with yes, they are going to win a cup. McDavid gets his. I think they're going to win it all.
Yeah, I think McDavid's due for one. I mean, they were down 3-0 last year to Florida, and they fought back, correct?
Yep.
And... yeah, I think he's due. They're playing out of their minds right now.
How about you, Strauss?
I'm going to say close but no cigar. Oof. I think Florida repeats.
Really?
Wow. I'm going to say Florida repeats. Watching the way Florida plays, even though they lost, they could have swept out Carolina at home. They didn't look terrible in that game.
Nah, but Bobrovsky's still
good. Bob is – he's insane. And you add – the pieces that they added –
Marchand,
as much as I hate to say this as a Leaf fan, when they added Marchand, that was the icing on the cake. At the time, Tkachuk was injured.
Yeah.
And I think they brought him in for a situation like they're built for a deep, gritty, hard-nosed playoff run. He's exactly the guy that you want. I guarantee you every fan in Florida hated that guy.
Until
they traded for him. He's the kind of guy that you would love to have on your team but hate to play against.
Pat Bev.
Yeah, right. And then another added piece that they did not, that's not getting a lot of love, is Seth Jones on defense. Oh. He's playing out of his mind right now, and he's so solid back there on that blue line. I just think Florida's just that good. So on the Western Conference side of things, Stuart Skinner's playing really well in net for Edmonton. It will make for a very interesting rematch, and I will 100% watch that. I think it's a great must-watch series for even the casual hockey fan. I think it would be a great rematch. I think this is they're all just pretty much at this point. Just let's just start making the series happen.
I just realized that both NBA conference finals are 3-1, and both NHL conference finals are 3-1,
and they're both going to happen on opposing days probably if they're smart. You have the NBA finals on one night. You got the NHL finals, Stanley Cup finals on another night.
Must watch TV.
100%, 100%, and Game 7 of anything I will watch. Yep. Which AFC team will represent themselves, the conference, in next year's Super Bowl?
I'm going to go the Bills.
I like that pick. The Ravens.
Mm. Bills, Ravens.
I was between those two.
I think the Ravens will get over the hump.
You're saying this is the beginning of the end for KC?
What did I say, the beginning of the end? That's not until Mahomes retires, but I just think, like, a team eventually has to, you know, get there in place of the Chiefs, and I think maybe this is the year.
I will say that I think the Bills or the Ravens, I think the Chiefs will be in the AFC Championship once again.
100% they'll be in the AFC
Championship. I think they're going to be in there again, but I think one of the other teams,
I think
the Bills or Ravens, will beat
them.
Is
the best playoff player probably in...
since Brady.
I might even say in sports right now.
Active.
In all of sports, I think when it comes to crunch time playoffs in recent years, Mahomes is probably up in the top 3 or 5, maybe even more.
So bases loaded, two out, down by 3, you want him up at the plate.
Besides the Super Bowl, but like if you look at every other game, the game against the Bills, the 49ers Super Bowl, if I'm losing a game, just saying football, I have one guy that's going to get me down the field whoever's on the field against any defense. Mahomes is...
okay.
I hate the Chiefs, but you gotta respect them.
Valid. Who is the home run derby winner this year?
Kyle Schwarber
does it. You know, I don't think Judge will do it. I think an underrated name will win it.
Really? I would. Yeah. I like to see the underrated. I don't think Schwarber would win it. I don't know.
Like last year, Teoscar Hernandez. Boom. Boom was almost.
Yeah, Boom was. He was in the semis,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Yeah. He was in the semis. A couple home runs out from reaching the finals.
Vladdy Jr. Always.
Where's the beast? Oh, the All-Star beast. Game's in Atlanta, right?
Yeah. That's a good question. Yeah, it is. I think it's in Atlanta. So maybe Matt Olson.
Maybe a righty. Or lefty, I meant.
Yeah.
Maybe a lefty will
Matt
win.
Matt Olson.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
We started this with Philly stuff. We're going to end with Philly stuff. Who is the most well-loved and what, like, who never buys a drink or pays for a meal all time in Philadelphia?
All time.
All time.
Jason Kelce.
Oh.
That's a great pick. That's a great pick.
Yeah. Or Nick Foles, one of the two.
There's no way. There's no way. How do you put Nick Foles over Travis Kelce?
Nick Foles won a Super Bowl.
No way. I'm talking about the guy that walks in, everybody goes, I'm not going to lie. If Nick Foles walked into the door right now, I would be like, I'm sorry, can I help you? But really? If Travis, yeah, 100%. Yeah, but if they both walked in, my eyes would gravitate towards Travis Kelce or Jason Kelce.
I don't know. I think Jason Kelce is literally, like, if you look up to Philly sports in the dictionary, I think Jason Kelce comes up.
Okay. Pat?
That's a great take.
That's a really, that's really good take.
Great take. I don't know if I could top that. I really don't know.
That's a really, really good one.
I just think he's...
It's a great...
I want to say Chase Utley.
Yeah.
Chase Utley's a good one. B-Doc is another one that I think...
Cole Hamels, maybe?
Yeah, he was actually on the broadcast on one of the games a couple weeks ago.
Like every couple Sundays.
Yeah, every other Sunday I think he does. He's just talking about his charities and stuff.
Yeah, he's been in the dugout a couple times.
He's in the dugout with us a little bit, yeah. Pat, who's your pick?
I don't know.
Hey, Pat, we're going to have to come back to you next week on this one?
I don't know. I was going to say, you know, I don't know.
That's B West, it's a really good question.
That is a really good question. I don't know.
And you could come up with one from every single of the four majors inside of Philly. Actually, I mean,
Kelsey's a legend.
Kelsey's number one. That's a great pick.
I have Kelsey's jersey. I can wear it till the day I die. It's Jason Kelce.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he has untouchable status.
Yeah.
I think he's on the Mount Rushmore of Philly sports.
I think Kelsey's the answer.
Yeah.
Up and down.
Okay. All right. Valid point. That's where we'll close out episode number four of that Philly John right here on Sterling Radio. I'd like to thank the invisible Pete Marlies for he tried to get here.
He's
got that whole thing called teaching that he does very, very well, mind you. But he did a great job with that. As always, he's coach of the year. He's got a state title under. Come on, man.
Build a statue.
Seriously. Can we get the bronze bust of Pete Marlies out front, please? Jeez. How have we not been working? It should be your senior gift.
Yeah, it
come
should
on,
be.
Guys.
Yeah, what?
That'd be so funny. That'd
Could
be
you
awesome.
Imagine?
He would be so mad. But it would be funny for us. It'd be really funny for us. But hopefully we can get Marlies on in a future episode. Yeah. Pat, Trev, awesome job, know, guys. Man. Hopefully we'll see you next week. Well, let's try and do another one before senior
leave.
Trip.
Yeah.
For sure. For
we can do a little Disney segment.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do a little They got the Wild World of Sports down there. They do some stuff down there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We can do
some
a little
fun
something.
Fun fact, my wife and I went to Disney made a stop right at Wild World of Sports thinking it was like this huge
it's thing. Awesome.
It's just a bunch of fields.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That's
I thought it was going to be something better than that. But
I'll show you some pictures. I had a basketball tournament there once.
Oh, bet.
Yeah,
bet. Gotcha. I think that they did, didn't they do the COVID?
The bubble.
The NBA COVID season
was
down
there. I
actually
had the chance to play on those courts.
Oh, that's
really
awesome.
Nice. Yeah, it was awesome.
Awesome.
It was cool.
We'll do the Disney edition next week that'll be episode 5, that Philly John.
Yeah.
For Pat Cowher, Trav Schmid, I'm Rob Strauss. We'll see you next time right here on that Philly John. We'll see you next time, guys.